Hello everyone, and welcome to minute 96 of season 10 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we hijack our way through the 1974 action thriller, The Taking of Pelham 123, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is John Parker of The Bat Minute. Welcome back for yet another season, John.
Yeah, thank you for having me yet again. I can't believe you're not sick of me.
I didn't say I'm not sick of you. I just need new guests.
Yeah, and I know, you can put up with me for the content.
And again, well, you know, you and Niall were on together yesterday, so I figured, all right, I'll have you on separately also. You know, Niall had his 4 minutes earlier this week. Now you have the joint one, and now we're gonna have, you know, 4 episodes just talking with John.
Which, yeah, now you're getting the real deal. Screw that Niall guy.
That's right. That's right. Isn't that the way it's supposed to work?
Absolutely. Yeah, we work together. We hate each other. We're not good friends at all.
Okay, that works too, doesn't it? Isn't that it's a love hate relationship, I guess you could say. When we can just call you guys Two-Face.
No, you know what? I can't even pretend. No, I love him. He's great.
I didn't have any doubt about that. Yeah, let's put it this way. You don't do that many seasons with someone if you can't stand them. Yeah, that's what it comes down to.
Exactly. Yeah, I in fact, you know, behind the scenes, I was hanging out with him last night as well. So there you go.
Oh, okay. Oh, so after we did our episode, our joint episode yesterday, you guys went out and didn't invite me. I see.
Well, you know, it might have taken you a little while to get down to the club.
Probably. Yeah, it's a slight problem. Yeah.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah, okay. All right, so why don't you start by telling everyone your background with The Taking of Pelham 123?
Right, this is going to be short, but interesting, I suppose, because believe it or not, I'd never seen it before. So when you asked me, do you want to come on this? I was like, oh, absolutely, because I've heard nothing but positive things about the film. And it's one of those that for whatever reason, yeah, oh, yo, God, I'd heard about it. I've heard about the remakes, but I never watched them either because it's like, well, I don't want to watch a remake. So I was really excited. I thought, oh, it's giving me an excuse to watch it, essentially. And I absolutely loved this. I thought it was great. It was almost like you've probably had guests say this, I don't know. I felt like it was a proto Die Hard kind of a film, you know?
Okay. I did have a guest a few weeks ago that kept saying that he thinks that Mr. Blue was motivation for Hans Gruber by the way he spoke and things like that.
Yeah.
And after he said it, I was like, wow, I can see that. Yeah.
The vibe I got through this whole movie was like, you don't get a Die Hard without this. Like, this lays all the groundwork, essentially. The only thing it hasn't got is the hero, like a John McClane character. But I don't think you don't want that in this. I bet the remakes have that. Well, you know, yeah.
You don't see Garber in the white t-shirt, you know, trying to go through some sort of air conditioning kind of.
No, I'm going to be honest. No, I don't. I want to see it. That sounds incredible. But no, the approach to this is more grounded. But I think no Die Hard without this. That's entirely the vibe I got from it. And it was great. I would watch it alongside those movies now. You know, I thought it was really, really interesting. And it was quite interesting how streamlined it is. Like the plot, it's very straightforward, but I don't mean that as a bad thing. It's like, it doesn't complicate it. It's just like, this is the story. These are the beats. Bam, 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 bam. We're at the end. And I that was really refreshing. But they didn't throw in crazy twists left and right and go, you know, over the top action, which again, I'm sure the remakes do that.
The remakes do change things a little bit. I mean, again, the Tony Scott version I just don't like the way they do it because they, you know, they have to try and make Denzel the, you know, the hero type of thing when,
yeah,
you know, Garber is the hero. And in the remake, his name is Garber, but he's you know, the train master. He's not a cop.
Ah.
So it's sort of
Okay. Okay. That's too Die Hard now, though. You know what I mean? Like, what's interesting about this is your heroic lead is not, he's not there on the ground. You know, it's very different.
Correct. It's because most of it is just conversations, which which gives us so much information, just by the way that all the characters are communicating by radio, with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, the
It
editing
was
in this movie is
fantastic
unbelievable
that.
because of that.
Yeah, and they pull it off. Like when they finally meet face to face, it feels like a big moment. Even though they've, you know, you're like, oh my God, what's gonna happen? And it's over in seconds. You know, you're like, whoa,
Yeah, it's over, but
it'll stick with me
whatever.
that.
Right, Nyla and I talked a little bit about that last week, but it's a very strange meeting because they're really not sure. If they're meeting the right person, it was a little strange.
Yeah. It's strange in a great way, though. That's why I loved it. I thought it was great. And again, that made me think of Die Hard, you know, when John and Hans meet. It had a similar kind of like, oh wow, they're finally meeting face to face.
Yeah, but at that point, Gruber didn't electrocute himself.
Sadly not. Sadly not.
It would have been a little interesting if he would have done it that way, but
It would have changed the movie. That's, we wouldn't have the iconic falling off the building, but this was equally iconic, I thought. His death was like, wow. I didn't expect that at all.
Again, we talked a little bit about that last week also because he why does he even he dropped the gun and then afterwards he just commits suicide. So like, why drop the gun? Wouldn't it be better to maybe shoot the cop or shoot at Garber or something like that? Because there's, well, whatever. I mean, Nyla and I did discuss that a little bit last week, so, or earlier this week. I keep
Yeah,
forgetting that it was earlier this week,
you'll have your own ideas on it. I just thought it was kind of he dropped the gun to come up with a plan and couldn't.
The plan was commit
Essentially, he's
suicide.
like, yeah, I'm tapping out.
Exactly. Okay, well, I'm actually very happy that I was able to get you to come and watch this movie, because it's always fun getting people to watch a movie for the first time that they never had, and then be enthusiastic about talking about it. That's also a plus.
Yeah. No, thank you very much for introducing me. Because again, it's one of those I'd always wanted to see, but for whatever reason, I just never put it on. So this gave me an excuse. And you know, when you're watching something with an excuse, sometimes you're like, no, okay, I've got to put it on. But within like 2, 3 minutes, I was like, oh yeah, this is great. Like the costumes and everything. I was just so sold on the costumes. I want to wear that as like an outfit.
You
I want a
want to
little
wear
mustache and everything.
you want to wear wait the you want to wear Garber's outfit, or you want to wear the outfit of the hijackers?
All the hijackers. I just love the way they all kind of look the same. That's so cool. I want a little gang of friends all dressed like that.
Yeah, so just next time you have some sort of costume party, you go out and buy a whole bunch of hats and plaid jackets and fake mustaches, and you can get all your friends to just get together for it.
Absolutely. Like this is basically Niall's wardrobe anyway, so I can just steal it off him.
Okay. So if that's what Niles likes to wear, then that would work.
Yeah.
All right. So minute 96 begins with Garber questioning Rico and ends with Rico and Garber looking for an apartment. So we ended things yesterday with we found out about who some of these who the three of the four of the men are, or of the kid, I guess terrorists. I don't even know if terrorist is the right word to even use for these people. And I wouldn't even call them either hijackers also. It's like, I'm not really sure what how to even after 96 episodes, I don't even know how to refer to these guys because I don't think of them as terrorists. They're not out to go blow up the train. They're not out to
No.
these guys just want money. You know, they're
yeah, it's not a political act, is it? Which no. I would think, you know, terrorism, it seems to have a political aim.
Correct. I mean, it seems more like a train robber type of thing, Jesse James. Yeah, that fits more in to what they're doing. And instead of the money being on the train, they have to bring them the money. You know, that's the difference there.
Yeah. And it's interesting as well that that's all it is. It's like, again, it's a bit like Die Hard, isn't it? It's like, no, they're not actually up to anything like terrorist-wise. They just want some money. They just want money, that's it. No complications there. And it's actually, it's quite funny looking at it through a 2025 lens. Because it's, to us now, it's like, well, that's not really that much money.
Right.
To be risking your life, you know.
Right, but it does come out to approximately $6.5 million nowadays.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah. Which, you know, I think people probably would maybe hijack a train for that.
probably not. You know, but apparently there are four guys that did want to do that. You know, which I hear. I'll bring up the question that I've asked every one of my guests up until now. What do you think? You know, now that we've seen movies like Reservoir Dogs, okay. So do you think that these four guys are on their own, or is there some Joe, you know, that has put them all together? Ooh. And, you know, he's the one running the show, and he's the one who puts these guys together.
Oh, wow. That's interesting. I hadn't considered that, because I just sort of assumed it was all put together by, I'm terrible with names, Robert Shaw's character.
You say Mr. Blue. Mr. Colors. You have to remember Mr. Colors.
Now, I just assumed he'd put it all together because, you know, he seems the most in charge, the most competent. But there's nothing to say that, really. He could have, yeah, because where did he find these guys? They don't know each other, seemingly.
Correct.
They seem sort of thrown together. They don't seem like they've got a background with each other. So, Oh, that I'm not advocating this, right? But they could have done a sequel where you find out who put it all together. There's another guy.
Well, three out of four of them are dead. You know, put it this way. At the end of this movie, three out of four are dead, and the fourth one's in jail. So I don't know.
Well, that's why the cops have to narrow down the ringleader. That's it.
No, I think what they needed is a prequel. You know, a prequel explaining how these guys got together.
Oh, don't tempt Hollywood. They'll do it. They'll do it. And they'll cast whoever the hot new actor is.
That's right. And you'll be like...
Timothy Chalamet will be...
That's right. You're saying Timothy Chalamet doesn't sound anything like Mr. Gray. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense.
It won't stop him.
And that's true. That's very true. But who knows? So at this point, Garber and Rico are continuing to talk, and Garber then asks Rico, he says, well, do you get the list of the motormen who were discharged for cause I asked you to get? You know, which it's very funny because this is a throwback to many, many minutes ago when he told them to get together a list. You know, so, you know, I don't know if we can even say that this was done quickly or slowly, because, you know, at this point, we don't know how much time has passed. Up until now, we know that the story is pretty much, you know, happening in real time. Now,
yeah, it's very quick.
It could have jumped a few hours. It's obviously it hasn't moved to the next day. We're still in the same day, but we don't know exactly how long has passed.
That's a good point. Yeah, because I think in my mind it's just immediately following it. But again, there's nothing to say that it could be later that day. Well, because it's in the daytime, isn't it? So this could now be the evening. Yeah.
Correct. Let's put it this way. It has to be a few hours later because, you know, Garber has to deal with the fact that he has a dead body. He has to deal with, or sorry, he has three dead bodies that he needs to deal with. You know what? I can even go further. He has to deal with five dead bodies because we also have Bud and Kaz. You know, so by the time that he finally gets back to the station, it's probably been a few hours. You know, let's say it's 2 hours.
Yeah.
And I mean, later in this minute when we see them outside, it's already dark. So, you know, but that doesn't mean anything either because the assumption is this is taking place in late fall. So, you know, it probably does get dark around 5-6 o'clock at the earliest. No, at the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Around...
I know what you mean. I mean, like, literally, right now in England, it's the middle of the day and it's dark.
Well, that's England. England is dark all day long.
Pretty much. But yeah, I initially wrote down my note that, oh, that was quick work. That was quick work getting this list together. But now you've pointed this out, maybe it actually wasn't quick work. Maybe
No,
it was
but Riku's
slow.
been trying to get this list together for a few hours now, so there's no way of us knowing how long it took him to get it. And then Riku responds, goes, "Yeah, 78 names." And then he looks at him and goes, "78?" He goes, "Yeah, but it's not that bad. 8 are dead, 22 are retired, 11 are in jail, 26 moved away. One's in a mental institution, the other is a member of the New York City Police Department." And Garber looks at him and goes, "That's our man right there." And he goes, "Sorry to disappoint you, Zachary, but he was accounted for. How many does that leave? Now, did you do the math?"
No, I'm terrible. No, I didn't. It's not many. It's not many. It's just a very short list now, isn't it?
Right. Again, they did their math properly here because the next line is the answer. He goes, "Well, only nine." He goes, "Only nine? Okay." He goes, "Let's get
To
going."
be fair, that's not too bad. That's like doable. From those initial
From
numbers to
78.
nine, like, oh, thank God.
Exactly. Like, how the hell are we going to go through 78 names?
I'm amazed how quick he's narrowed it all down. Like that is good work, to be fair. That's good. He's because he's not just got a list. He's actually gone through the list and sorted it out.
I guess the database back then, knew that these guys were all rehired. These are dead. These are in jail. I guess it's cross-referencing numerous databases and stuff like that. And to know that 26 of them moved away, that's also just crazy. That they were able to figure that one out. So whatever, they have these other guys are all bored because they're most of their days are spent looking for cantaloupes in the subway system. So they're going to split it between the five guys that are there. All right, let's find out what's going on with all these. Let's make phone calls and find out what's happening with all these these 70s. Is that Garber never says to him how far back to go? So this is like 1974. Are they like looking at people from 30 years ago that were discharged for cause? I mean, like, how far back do you go?
That's a good point because there's nothing to say to stop someone who got discharged, 20, 30 years ago from still having a grudge.
Well, it all depends on how quickly the train technology changes.
Well, that's a good point.
Which I don't know the answer to.
I'm sure, in lots of ways there have been advances and things, but a lot of how a train operates, from my limited understanding, it's still kind of the same. Like you've still got
Okay.
the same kind of keys. Because I someone in our band is he works on the trains, and he was showing me these weird keys he has to use to like turn the train on, essentially. He just has one in his pocket at all times.
Did you tell him that you're going to be talking about a movie on about a
I
train?
actually haven't I haven't told him. I'm gonna have to tell him immediately after this, and he'll
Oh,
probably say to me, "Oh, I love that movie." Anything about trains, you just suddenly become like he's obsessed. He's in the right job.
wait, he's like what's his name in The Big Bang Theory?
Oh,
Jim Parsons' character.
Sheldon.
Sheldon, there you go. I can't
He
remember. I
kind
can't
of
believe I forgot his name.
veers.
He's
We're
Sheldon.
on tour with the band, and like you might think, oh, that's all rock and roll. No, he takes time out of his day to go and look at the local train stations.
Okay. Hey, why not? If you got a hobby, why
Why
not?
not?
Okay, makes sense. So then we get some of the great music from this movie as they're moving along and deciding to start go check out what where these nine people are, I guess you could say. And I mean, I've said this many times, but I love that Jerry Stiller's in the movie.
It always throws me off because
He's
I just
really great here.
like every time I saw him, I was like, wait, hang on a minute. No, what?
Yes. I recently saw a documentary about Jerry Stiller and his wife that Ben Stiller made, about his parents. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. And he does mention this movie a little bit in there, about the about remembering when his father was making this movie and stuff like that. This is when Jerry Stiller was starting to try to get into into films, because he was, up until then, he was just doing comedy routines with his wife.
Yeah.
They were a comedy team. It's called Stiller and Mira Back Together Again or something like that.
I'll check this out. I didn't know about it.
It's called Stiller and Mira, Nothing is Lost.
Okay, cool.
It's on Apple TV. I was fascinated by it. I really liked watching it.
No, that sounds great. That sounds like my kind of
thing. And I even have a tidbit that will be talked about somewhere over the next week and a half. That I got that information from that documentary about this movie. So we'll have to wait and see when that will drop. So we then see them outside. And it's great seeing that Rico is in his uniform now. You know, if he has to be outside, he needs to be in uniform. And they enter into a very dark building. Mm. And we see that Garber is then looking to try and figure out, which apartment it is. And he says, "What's the name of this guy?" Then Rico goes, "Nathaniel Muscat." And he goes, "What did he get busted for?" And he goes, "Narcotics." And he goes, "Narcotics." And then they start walking into the building, and they walk through the building trying to find the apartment. And he goes, "Here, it's A6. And they come across a different apartment, and they go, "Oh, this is A5. Hey, move this way." it's a good thing that it's on the first floor. Right?
Yeah.
But we're going to have to wait and find out tomorrow why it's good that it's on the first floor. But so I decided to actually look up first of all, the name Nathaniel. Do you know what Nathaniel means?
I do not. It's a name I've heard, plenty of times, but I wouldn't say it's like particularly common here. But I've met people called that, but I've never looked up the meaning.
Okay, so it's a big biblical name, and what it means is that God has given, or a gift of God.
Oh, okay.
Okay. There are people in the Bible, both in the Old and New Testaments, that are named Nathaniel. One of them is even one of Jesus' apostles. And so the name obviously is still used today. There are still people or derivations of it. You have Nathan. You will find some people named Nathaniel.
Yeah, I've met some people with the name, definitely.
Exactly. And then what about the name Muscat? Besides the grape, Muscat.
So what's that?
That's what I'm asking.
I don't know.
First of all, it is the capital and the largest city of Oman.
Oh.
Which is in the Middle East.
I did not know that, actually.
It's a type of grape used for wine and raisins and things like mm-hmm. that. There is a Japanese baseball stadium named Muscat Stadium. It is a surname that comes from it's Maltese. The Maltese Falcon.
Yeah, yeah. So it's from Malta. Is it common there?
No, not very common. I mean, there was a former prime minister of Malta in 1974, who was born in 1974, named Joseph Muscat.
Ah, okay.
And there's a bunch of sports people with the names Muscat. I couldn't find anyone with the name Nathaniel Muscat, which I thought were, my first thought when I saw that the prime minister, I was like, oh, is his first name Nathaniel? But it wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I love
trying to get a guy.
I love looking up stuff like that when we're doing our minute by minute. It's like as soon as the name said, it's like, oh, let's find someone with that name so we can like talk for 20 minutes about him. And it's always heartbreaking when it's never a person.
That's right. I agree, but I gotta say, a few weeks ago I had a guest on where we will shortly be doing the Name That remake, and the movie that came up was a movie that my guest, the main character, has the same name as my guest.
Oh,
and it was completely random. Like, I didn't know that that was what was going to happen.
Oh, that's incredible.
It was amazing. he was shocked also, yeah. Yes. All right, so did you have anything else you wanted to say about this particular minute?
Not about the minute in particular, other than, I mean, it's a good minute, but there's, you know, it's hard to find things to really dive into in this specific one. Whereas the next few, right. It's like, okay. Oh, there's lots of things there. But it's a good minute. You know, we get a nice, some nice outfits going on in this one. I'm a big fan of Mia names again, Walter Matthau's character, Garber, is it?
Garber.
His shirt. I really like that shirt. I've got a similar one, but it doesn't fit me anymore because I've put too much weight on.
And do you have a mustard colored tie?
I actually don't. I should get one to pair with it, shouldn't I?
You definitely should. And then you can you know, not only can you go to costume parties, you know, as one of the four hijackers, you could also now go as Garber.
Oh no, that
you know,
feels.
People look at you and say, "Who are you?" And you'd be like, "I'm Lieutenant Garber of the Impala 123." They'd be like, "Who the hell is that?"
That feels more like a Niall costume.
You can
actually
go listen to a podcast.
That feels more like a Niall costume. He could be him because he's got the same like attitude, I think.
Okay, so we'll have to mention that to Niall. You know, try and figure out how he's going to do that one. All right. So every Thursday we play a game called the 70s Movie Trivia Potpourri. Ooh. Where I'm going to spin the wheel and you're going to get a random question of a movie from the 1970s. And we're going to see how good your 1970 trivia is.
Oh, no.
Oh, you think, are you that bad at it? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I won't be great. I won't be great. I've got more knowledge of like late 70s movies. But I think my real movie knowledge really hits in the 80s. You know?
All right, well, let's spin the wheel and see what you get. So let's see what we get. And the wheel goes around and around and around. You're going to get five of these. So, you know, you'll keep having a chance to redeem yourself.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. In the 1975 movie The Sunshine Boys, who plays the Sunshine Boys? Who are the actors that play the Sunshine Boys?
I know Walter Matthau's in it, right?
Okay, very good. You see, you got that one. And the other one is an actor, a long-term actor who actually won an Oscar for that movie.
Oh, wow.
For being in the Sunshine Boys.
Oh. Oh, no. I can see the poster. I've seen the poster before, probably on IMDb. Oh crap! I can't remember who the other person is.
He liked smoking cigars. And he lived till over 100.
Ah, wait, is it George Byrne? Yeah,
yes, it is. Very good.
To be fair, I wouldn't have got that without your clues.
Okay, but that's fine. That just adds to the fun of it.
the clues are very helpful. Keep them coming. Give me some off mic.
Okay. All right. Let's spin the wheel and see what the next one is. And around and around the wheel goes. Ooh. Okay, you wanted something in the late 70s, okay, so you got it. Okay. In the 1979 film Alien, what is the name of the ship?
The Nostromo.
Perfect. Yeah. You see? You didn't need any help.
No, I'm an alien. I don't want to say expert because that's a bit too cocky, but I'm quite knowledgeable about it.
All right. That works. All right. And now let's see what that next one is. Ooh, you get another question from Alien.
Oh, okay.
What was the original title of the film Alien?
What was it again? Was it Star Beast?
Yes, it was. Yeah. Very good.
I seem to remember that was, I think, did Dan O'Bannon change it? Like, because he didn't come up with that name, did he? I think it was already called that.
Well, I will tell you the information about that. So Dan O'Bannon's original draft title was Star Beast, but he was never happy with it. It was only after rereading his script that he noted how many times the word alien appeared and realized that it was the perfect title. It works as a noun and as an adjective, and surprisingly, it had never been used before as a film title.
It's perfect, isn't it? Because it's just so concise, and it just sums up the movie.
Yeah.
It's and they don't know what it is. It's an alien of some description, you know.
That's right. Exactly. All right, so let's spin the wheel one more time. Yeah. Around and around. See, you're doing well so far.
Not doing.
There won't be any more alien questions. Because I'm done with the alien question.
No.
Okay. Alfred Hitchcock directed 69 films over his entire career.
Wow.
Only two of them came out in the 70s. Do you know which two came out in the 70s?
Let me think. Because most of them are like 50s and 60s. Let me think later on.
But they go all the way back to the 20s.
Yeah, well, obviously. But the ones I'm thinking of, you know, the big hitters that I watch a lot are like 50s, 60s. So let's think. What ones of his 70s? I'm racking my brain here. Hang on. I think one of them might be Frenzy.
Yes, Frenzy is one of them. Frenzy came out in 1972.
Okay.
And then you have his final movie that came out in 76.
Oh, what was the final one? Ooh. Off the top of my head, I can't think what the final one is. I'm not sure on that one.
It also starts with an F.
I can't think of one. After Frenzy, I can't know. I've
right,
got no idea.
Let's see what hints I can try and give you with it. It stars Karen Black and Bruce Dern.
Wow. No, I don't know if I've seen this one. I've seen Frenzy.
Indeed. Okay. So this one, the synopsis on IMDb is two frauds seeking a woman's heir cross paths with another couple planning a kidnapping scheme.
That sounds familiar, actually. It's me saying I haven't watched it, but nothing's jumping to mind. I'm stuck.
Okay. So it's a family plot.
Oh, okay. I've heard the name. Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I've heard the name. Ah, I wouldn't have thought of that. I wouldn't have got it, I don't think.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, now we will spin one last time for you, and let's see what we get. And around and around and around the wheel goes. Okay. In 1972, what movie won 8 Oscars yet failed to win Best Picture? It is the movie with the most wins without taking home the biggest award.
Hang on. I heard this on a podcast. What was it? Was it Cabaret?
Yes, it was.
Yes. I think I heard that on, what was it? It might be Unspooled, the podcast. I'm pretty sure it was something like that. Yeah. Because I actually I love Cabaret, but I only got into it a couple of years ago. I'd never seen it before.
See, I'm not much of that much of a fan of it, but I decided I'm going to rewatch it. So I'm hoping within the next few weeks to rewatch it, because it's something that has come up numerous times over this podcast. And I said, you know, maybe I need to give it another chance. So Oscars. So the Oscars that it won Best Editing, Cinematography, Art Direction, Score, Supporting Actor, Actress, and Director.
Oh, wow.
And obviously it lost Best Picture that year to The Godfather, which I'm still shocked that The Godfather didn't win Best Picture, Best Director that year.
Yeah, that's astonishing. I'm not even a huge Godfather fan. I'm like the other way here. I love Cabaret. Godfather, it's okay. But I'm surprised it didn't win, like, everything.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. So now we will play the daily game of Name That Remake. I'm gonna spin the wheel, and I'm gonna give you a little bit of information about a movie that was remade. I'm gonna tell you the year it came out and the year that the remake came out, and you'll have to try and guess what movie.
Okay.
Okay. So the original movie came out in 1954, and it was remade in 1998.
Okay.
Okay. And it's about a man who witnesses what he believes is a murder, but nobody believes him.
Oh. The Hitchcock one.
Yes.
Oh, what's it called? He's like stuck in the house.
Yes.
Oh, crap. What's it called? Hang on. I'm racking my brain. Rear Window.
That's correct. So it was remade as a TV, very good. It was remade as a TV movie in 1998, and then was remade as Disturbia in 2007. But most people just forget about that because of who's in that movie.
Yeah, I actually remember not minding that version. I thought it was pretty good, and they changed the name either, so they're not, you know.
Peter Booth is someone who's people don't like him as much as they might have back then. I don't know.
No, agreed. I used to really like him until certain things. You know? Exactly. We won't go there, but yeah.
No need to go there. All right. So, John, would you like to tell people where they can find you?
Yes, indeed. You can check out my podcast with Niall, Bat Minute. You could just look it up anywhere. We're on all the social medias, except for Twitter. We don't use that. We're on everything else. And we've got another show, Miami Minutes, about the movie Miami Connection. And that's done, so you can listen to the whole thing, beginning to end, and be finished. So listen to both of those. You can just find them on all podcatchers, Spotify, they're even on YouTube, I think. That's automated. I don't know. I don't look at the YouTube.
Yeah. All right. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So until tomorrow,
at you. Get sun tight.